Welcome back to Downtown Mon. It's a 441. Eric Meehan from Bagwell Wine and Cheese Company joins us for this week's Message in the Bottle. Welcome.
Ah, isn't that good?
It is great.
I love it when I search for something as simple as French wine and I come up with a French reggae star who's just going to sing about French wine and make your body feel fine.
Fantastic.
I don't think there's any other lyrics for 3 minutes in that entire song. It's like, it's brilliant. They figured out like the UB40 formula and just like reduced it to its like lowest common denominator.
How many lyrics? 3. Maybe 2.
What is it? Weird Al said it best, right? The song is just 6 words long. And then he proceeded to sing other lyrics. So I never understood that.
How'd your birthday go? Happy day. Yesterday.
My birthday was great. My birthday, for those of you who don't read my newsletter, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
But no, my darling wife, in her birthday wishes reminded me that 20 years ago yesterday, I was a young singer at the Glimmerglass Opera. And she was a techie whom I found attractive. I like to think found me attractive. I guess the evidence would suggest so. I was a big hockey fan. There was a guy named Joe Kaiser, who was a Canadian baritone, big hockey fan, because that's the law in Canada, even though we were in the U.S., but he was abiding by his own nationality. And a couple others, and I was like, hey, man, it's my birthday. All I really want to do is go watch the Cup. And it was the Stars and the Sabres, Dominic Hasek. I don't think the man had a spine in a good way. We just kind of went out, and when we got to this place, Joe, this Canadian, kind of looked over Christine, and he was like, why don't you sit next to Eric? And yeah, I got to sit next to this very, very pretty girl who's become the center of my life provided with my children. So yesterday was a day of great celebrating. And I tried to carry that thought through until today. And then I read an update, I get these wine and beverage industry updates every day. And this is not a political statement, but it's a political statement. Just so for all of you, I made a note for myself this morning. Considering writing out a public service announcement about why you are going to see and are already seeing the price of your favorite beverages going up. And the latest news, take this for what it is, right? My report a couple of days ago where the California winemakers are very, very concerned. Why? Because one of their hugest markets, China, obviously we've had some tariff issues with them because of people. And the prices of their wines now, the California wines in China, are 91% more than they are in America. Okay? That shouldn't happen. Now, today it was announced that to alleviate the California winemakers and the American winemakers' suffering in order to convince Americans to buy American, and there's nothing wrong with that, folks, don't get me wrong, that we are now going to impose tariffs on wines from France, Italy, and the rest of the EU. Again, take from this what you will, but what I take from it is that my life as a wine merchant is going to be considerably harder because people just don't have that kind of money to just throw around on. Not, I don't consider wine a luxury. I consider it something, you know, a wonderful everyday thing. But your pocketbooks and my pocketbook are being hurt by what's going on right now. And I just need you to think about that. Just think about it. That's all I ask. But it upsets me a great deal because I think it's ridiculous. And it brings me to a point. When I first started working in this business, it was very interesting that I thought about this. I was working for a Frenchman. And this is back in the days when we were all upset as a nation that the French were not supporting some of our efforts in the Middle East. And so there was a lot. These are the days of the Freedom Fries. For everybody who remembers Freedom Fries.
Oh, yes.
And I thought to myself that it was a really interesting thing because people were coming into our wine shop, and it was owned by a Frenchman, but people didn't seem to know that. And they would say, I want to buy American wines because I don't want to support the French. Okay, and I didn't laugh at them and say, you know, if you buy anything at this store, But I found it fascinating because California wines, by and large, were by a little bit more expensive than wines from France and other places that, frankly, have had wine cultures for hundreds, if not thousands, of years, and just have places where there's less expensive wines being made than in one of the most. I mean, it's the richest state in our nation, California is, and they get their money's worth in a lot of cases. And I found it interesting at the time that they did not lower their prices or anything like that to try and infiltrate the American market that they themselves were not really a part of in this time of sort of national unity in terms of buying American. And that was a time I was kind of curious to see what happens. But it's really a sticky wicket when you start playing nationalistic games with a global product. So again, just think about this as we talk today. We're talking this 6-month stretch until the new year about the world of wine, and we're going to talk about the new world in a little while. But today we are talking again about France and some of the wonderful things that hopefully things get straightened out and we're not going to have to pay dollars, tens of dollars more per bottle for. Today we're going to talk about the Loire and Bordeaux and sort of the rest of France, because next week we're going to move on to Germany. And again, you know, forgive me for potentially giving short shrift to France in terms of only 2 weeks during this stretch, because as I say, we kind of cover France all the time because of necessity. Certainly last month when we were talking about appellations and things like that. So let's move on from politics and tariffs and things like that and talk about some absolutely stunning product. The first thing I'm going to talk about, and our sample wine today is from there. This is the Loire Valley. The Loire Valley is an absolutely enormous place. It starts in the city of Nantes on the Atlantic coast. If you recall, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Normandy, where they grow all the apples and everything. Very, very harsh coastline. This is just south of that, where you can really start to, again, have viticulture. And so in Nantes, in that area, you have the Muscadet wine made out of the grape Melon de Bourgogne. Muscadet, obviously a hugely popular thing in Maine and other coastal areas. Wonderful seafood wine. And then from there, you move inland to what we call the Central Loire Valley. And that is where our sample wine is from. The Central Loire Valley has a lot of things going on for it. It's a wonderful place for viticulture. And a lot of, we've got basically the entire Loire Valley for most of the stretch of it is going east to west, which means that a lot of the vineyard slopes are facing southwest, which is optimal in the Northern Hemisphere. So a lot of wonderful things, a lot of limestone, and actually a lot of the caves that a lot of these wines are aged in are just basically human carved out of the living rock. It's really fantastic to go in some of these places. And so in the Central Loire, and of course, this is where you also have those beautiful chateaux you take the river cruises along the Loire Valley and see these beautiful, beautiful buildings and wonderful little towns, cities like Anjou and Tours, Orléans, just absolutely fantastic places right out of, Three Musketeers sort of place. And so the wine we're tasting today is an Anjou red. So this is a red wine from the Anjou region. The grapes that you find there are Cabernet Franc, which is the grape that we're drinking right now. Wonderful little bistro level, wonderful for food and getting into these grilling season. What goes great with charred things. And then you move into the eastern Loire Valley. So it kind of goes up towards a peak at Orléans and then drops south. And that's where you find the start of this ancient seabed, this Kimmeridgian soil that goes up into Chablis and Champagne as well. And that's where you find the region of Sancerre, Puy-Fumé, and these places that have the very minerally Sauvignon Blanc, for which that part of the Loire is known. I forgot to mention Chenin Blanc in the central Loire. So you have all these things. Chenin Blanc. You also have the grape Malbec. There they call it Côte. So a great diversity. Pinot Noir shows up there as well, and some other things, some interesting things. And then for a little while southward, there's not too much. There's forests, there's some other wonderful places, a lot of wild game and other produce. And then you get to the famed region of Bordeaux. Now, Bordeaux is famous for basically selling a lot of wines to the Brits, to a lot of Americans, to really the rest of the world, because there's a major port city, Bordeaux, from which they shipped all these things. And so the Bordelais, frankly, they took credit for a lot of wines that they didn't even make sometimes. But that was their sort of power back in the day when they, there weren't such protections on regions. But they share a lot of the wine, the grapes from the Loire Valley. Cabernet Franc, again, a lot of people think of Cabernet Sauvignon as like the king of Bordeaux. It's really only grown in about 30% of Bordeaux. And the rest of it is Cabernet Franc, dominantly Merlot, and not the Merlot of Sideways, which is this, bland crap. It's really, really good structured wine. And actually, I had a tasting the other day of some Bordeaux, and I remarked to myself and my staff and the other guy who was showing us the things that, you know, people talk cab, but if they were to try these wines, the wines I'm sure they would gravitate towards are the ones that are more Merlot and Cab Franc heavy. They're a little more voluptuous. They're a little more kind of sexy and fun and delicious. Cabernet Sauvignon tends to have an edge. It tends to have maybe a green bell pepper, a grilled thing, a charred thing, a thing that people don't necessarily find lovely until it has some age on it. But Merlot and Cab Franc are kind of accessible instantly. And of course, the other grapes you have in Bordeaux, Malbec, is a blending grape there, Petit Verdot, Petit. You get these wonderful diverse blends out of Bordeaux. But it is definitely mostly famous for the port city and for shipping out. And that is how it established its money. A lot of money in Bordeaux. A lot of banking families, very, very famous banking families. Of course, the Rothschilds, Chateau Lafite Rothschild, Mouton Rothschild, Lynch Bage, a lot of Jewish banking families that then were forced, in fact, during World War II, to flee. And there's a great book, Wine and War, that I've talked about before. Pick it up if you like the history of anything. It's a gripping little memoir about how all these famous Bordelaise families basically had to either or get out. So really dramatic. Just south of Bordeaux, you have a lot of really interesting southwest and sort of inland. There's a lot of rivers that flow into Bordeaux. So a lot of the wines that you see, Cahors, of course, the original place, birthplace of Malbec, Marcillac, and a lot of places, Cabardès, upstream. And then also in that area, you also get the famed spirits, Armagnac and Cognac, made out of the very sharp, acidic white grapes that you find there. So really, really interesting. Running out of time, so we're going to hit the rest of France really fast. Because I would be remiss if I did not mention wines actually on the extreme other end of the country, on the east end of the country. Of course, the region of Alsace. Alsace is the gateway to Germany, and indeed where those very same Nazis who I was just referring to came through in quite a pass. You have these wonderful varietals, Pinot Noir, all the Pinots, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Gewürztraminer, Riesling, sort of this wonderful hybrid region of German and French winemaking, absolutely exquisite wines. They do tend to cost a little bit, but they're worth every penny. Just south of there, east of Burgundy, you have Jura, which is very famous for whites of interest, bubblies of interest, and also the very famous Vin Jaune, which is a very heavily oxidized white wine that goes beautifully with food, but is a sort of a cultural peculiarity. We do carry one, and if you're ever curious about that, come on in. I'll tell you more about that. Then just south of that, Savoie, very famous again for white wines. This Savoie is France's highest winemaking region up in the hinterlands of the Alps. They also make Cerdon de Bougie, which is a wonderful frothy little sweet red wine. So, and then Provence, which is down, we talked about the southern coast, Rhone and Languedoc last week, but Provence is just east of the Languedoc, has a lot of the same grapes, but is much more structured. It's almost like Bordelaise wine, but made with southern French grapes. Really, really excellent. And of course, their rosés are famous and justifiably so, perfect for this time of year. Before I run out of time, I did want to mention to everybody, of course, we are having our tasting on the 20th. Terry Hall from Pure and Simple Apothecary will be there showing off not only some of her tinctures and other healthy, wonderful things, but I think I've convinced her to show she actually has some wonderful self-blended teas, which are gorgeous. So I'm hoping she'll bring that as well. Want to mention as well, we are one of the sponsors of the Maine Cheese Festival, which is happening in September. Tickets are now going on sale, I believe, the 15th, June 15th. So coming right up on Eventbrite. So if you guys want to get in on that, I invite you to go to Eventbrite and sign up for that. And otherwise, we will see you here. Same time, talk to you here, same time. And we'll start talking about Germany next week. So I look forward to it.
Wunderbar.
Wunderbar. Ciao.
31 years older than you, celebrities, by the way.
Oh, yes. Who am I taking out? If Bieber's taking out Cruz, I'm taking out,
James Woods?
James Woods. Wow.
Pat Sajak?
Oh, yeah. Just to see if he's a cyborg.
Mitt Romney?
No.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
No.
Good luck with that.
No, his wingspan alone. No. there's too many dangerous celebrities who are that age.
Stallone.
I mean, there's no chance.
Iggy Pop.
I'd like to see Iggy Pop and Stallone, to be honest. I think that might be a fair shot.
And the President of the United States. I think we know where you're going.
No comment. See y'all next week.
Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle, Tuesdays on Downtown.